Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
That's good tempo. Trying to get my blood going. That's the big guy, gigantic, humongous Mike Jones Orchestra. Whoa, there's some guitar going on. Mike Jones Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme. I'm playing the upright bass on that. Mike Jones, astonishing piano player, and trying to give me that jazz after dark feel here on Free FM, 866-313-FREE. You know how good a jazz player you've got to be to give that after dark feel in the middle of the afternoon?
2 p.m.
Look at me, Michael Goodell. I know you usually look down at the computer. Look at me. I'm trying to look hungover, okay? I'm trying to look trashed, and this is a difficult thing. I'm 51 years old, but I read at a 53-year-old level.
That's great.
That's Dana Carvey's joke.
He says you're 51 and read at a 53-year-old level.
Yeah, really no. Odd. He just says
about himself.
Yeah, the basic joke. See, you're using the magician sense of what's stealing. You know, magicians in jokes, you try to give credit for the idea, but in magic, if someone comes up with a brand new trick that's in a gold box and you paint the box blue, you've added something new to it. It's a whole new thing.
For steal comics, that. If you change the numbers,
exactly.
No, he said 43 and 45.
Yes. So it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. So I didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah, me either.
Not a bit. I didn't sleep at all. I got home from the big show and the big Penn and Teller show, and I came back and I had emails to write and compose, and I had a head full of ideas, and it's driving me insane, as Bob Dylan says. It's a shame the way that we're talking about Maggie's Farm. I was actually thinking about working on Maggie's Farm and what that means. And they sing while you slave, and I just get bored. And I had a lot of these Maggie's Farm thoughts going through my head last night. So I watched a little bit of Law & Order with my... You know, the reason I love Law & Order is there's absolutely no originality and no surprises, you know?
It's very relaxing.
Perry Mason, you know, someone breaks down on the stand, you know, stuff like that happens. In Columbo, it's how he's going to trap the person. In Law and Order, two detectives go around, ask people questions about who killed the guy. Finally, someone tells them. Then they take him to court, and Sam's voice cracks. That's what happens.
It's real police work.
It's real police work, and it's absolutely the same all the time. So when I come home from work and I want to unwind with my wife, we talk about it. We have all these little in-jokes, little cues we do. We play this game. We watch this. And then, you know, I went in the bathtub and read about parasites because nothing puts me to sleep better than reading about blood flukes. I'm in the blood fluke chapter.
Nice.
And these nutty. All of a sudden, I'm Sammy Davis Jr. talking about parasite biology. These nutty,
crazy, baby.
They're nutty, crazy, wacky, swinging, kooky. They're kooky. These
blood
kooky parasites. Blood flukes are kooky. I want to say that Free FM has given me the opportunity to say things that have never been said on the radio before. Blood flukes are kooky. Never said, but I don't care how big a swinging guy you are, you don't get to say that sentence. No other. You go to other networks across the country, across history, nobody but Free FM, let's just say, blood flukes are kooky. Because you know these blood fluke things. Let me just talk to you a little bit about my buddies, the blood flukes. They start out life in a snail, right?
Yes.
And then they go out of the snail's body to free swimming for a while. They're in a snail from free swimming. Then they get eaten by a bird. Then they go to the bird droppings. In every state, they're a different alien form, you know? And it turns out that they're thinking that maybe the whole idea of, like, the wolves that keep the population of the elks down and stuff like that, probably not true. Probably the parasites that slow down the elks in order to get into the wolves' bloodstream. They go into your brain. They make you do stuff, you know? Parasites will make you do stuff. They even think that parasites do make people act in a different way. People. I'm not talking about make a crazy ant crawl up to the top of a stalk. I'm talking about. So I read all about these blood flukes. And I also love to read about elephantitis because that's a disease you want to read about. reading a lot about malaria. I care a lot about malaria. Malaria is, of course, a political disease because Americans didn't want DDT, so they banned DDT worldwide, and that made a lot of deaths from malaria in other countries. So it's a political thing. So I'm reading about these. Still doesn't put me to sleep. Usually, you know, with the idea of a 60-foot tapeworm curled up in your guts and taking part of the nutrition while it holds on to part of your small intestine wall, usually that just lulls me off into gentle slumber. That's where I fall into the arms of Morpheus when reading about tapeworms. But last night,
counting blood flukes,
did not work. Did not work. Did not put me to sleep. Hot bath didn't work. I went and I looked at my daughter sleeping. Did not put me. Wrote long, long letters that will never be sent to anybody.
long letters.
I cut my own hair. I put a knife on my arm and taped it in place and said, here is a man who would not take it anymore. Listen, all you screwheads. Someday a real rain's going to come. And the solution I came to, I got up this morning and I said, you know, I didn't sleep at all. I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that good. And I love this. I forget your name. Happy Jack. I didn't sleep at all. Happy Jack just held up a little sign that said, Blood Fluke Thursday.
Yeah, we have some funny blood fluke stories. There was a kid swimming through the Amazon.
Liver flukes. Liver flukes are nutty, too. Kooky flukes. So this morning I get up. Well, you don't get up. I was up. I mean, I was just lying in bed looking at the ceiling.
Still there.
Glanced over at my sleeping wife and child and got up to start my day. And I realized I couldn't eat. You know, I didn't feel like eating at all. And sure enough, Happy Jack, like a mind reader, shows up with a dozen glazed raspberry-filled Krispy Kreme donuts, which was Elvis's favorite donut. Elvis knew certain things. Elvis knew how to rip off African Americans. Elvis knew how to eat. Did you read the Goldman biography of Elvis?
I believe I did, yes.
Yeah. No mention of blood flukes. It's a shame.
He knew nothing about blood flukes.
Nothing. Elvis knew nothing about it. Probably didn't even know blood flukes existed. But they have a chapter in the Elvis biography that really has always made me laugh. It said, it talked about Elvis going crazy, Elvis being such a whack job out of his mind. And it says, Elvis was so crazy that Elvis would like to get teenage girls and put them in just white panties and watch them wrestle. I'm reading
crazy
this going,
man.
Crazy. He's out of it. What would make you do that? What would make you do? Whoa, what a nut.
No sane person.
But Elvis knew food. So I haven't slept all night, and I'm emotionally brittle. I'm emotionally brittle, like Mia Farrow in a 70s movie. That's the way I'm feeling. Emotionally brittle. I feel like I've been used as a pinata. And so I want to express this, right? And the way a man expresses this kind of feeling, the way a traditional woman expresses this kind of feeling is, I think, best typified by Mia Farrow. The way a man does this is you're supposed to be unshaven, which means nothing to me. I go 4 days without shaving, and I'm still, my face is smoother than Moxie's ass. And I have compared the two, and that's okay because I'm her father. My face doesn't, I don't get this 5 o'clock shadow thing that makes you look psychotic. My hair is always down and in my face and always looks awful anyway. There's no way to go there, okay? The t-shirt and shorts thing that someone, when they're going crazy, wears, that's what I wear anyway. So what a person needs is drink. Because if I came in today hungover, then you guys would go off into the other room and go, Jesus, Ben's really hungover today. He's really hungover, man. Let's get him some aspirin. Let's kind of take care of him. But I come in, and look at this. I was up all night, did not sleep a wink. I'm emotionally brittle like Mia Farrow. I'm obsessed with blood flukes. And look at the whites of my eyes. What color are they? White!
Perfectly white.
Perfectly white. All I want is a little bloodshot in there. Just a little bloodshot. Just that kind of porn star bloodshot they get at the end of all the shoots. You know what I'm talking about? Just a little bit of that. And this is what I want to say to the people that want to learn from my mistakes. I'm from New England. It's time to get very honest. I'm going to kind of open up my heart, bare my soul, so it should be very funny. I'm from a little town in Massachusetts. My mom and dad were teetotalers. Never had a drink in their life. I never heard anything about drugs or drinking. Now, some people, like religious people, when they don't drink, it's talking about the horror of the drink and the kind of what do I want to say, Carrie Nation type temperance type stuff, like the, you know, lips that have touched alcohol will never touch mine. My mom and dad never said a word about alcohol or drugs. Never a word. I got into junior high. My hair was down past my shoulders. I looked like a complete hippie freak. They never sat me down and talked to me about drugs. Ever. Not once, not a mention. When you went New Year's Eve in my house, they didn't say like, oh, you know, other people are getting drunk. No. We turned on TV, we watched the ball fall, and we ate butter pecan ice cream. And you can tell I'm from New England, but the fact that I say butter pecan. ate that ice cream, you know. And that's what I thought it was. So when kids started drinking, I just thought, well, this is stupid, you know. I don't know why they're doing it. They're not doing it to rebel against their parents. They're doing it to be drunk like, you know, our principal is, right? So I never had a sip of alcohol, right? Never a bit. And then all my friends, because I graduated from high school in a rural high school in 1973, which was the drug peak. I mean, kids in my class were on heroin. A lot of kids were doing acid. We didn't have that crystal meth thing that the young wacky kids have today. We didn't have E, but boy, did we have acid, heroin, dope, and alcohol. And kids used them all at once, except me. I didn't use any alcohol at all. Nothing. So now, here I am, 51 years old, and I can't even get my eyes bloodshot to show people that I am upset, that I'm a beaten man. You know how Bruce Willis looks in the beginning of every movie before I start crying about him? How Bruce Willis crawls out of bed, and there's like this pathetic scene where he pours a cup of coffee, and his hand is shaking. You know they always do that, the hand shaking thing, because they have the DTs or something, and you go, man, that guy's tough. He's been through a lot. No, not me. My face is healthy and clear. There's no hair on it. My eyes are just white like a sheet of paper.
You look good.
Thanks. That's what you get when you don't drink. That's what you get when you don't drink. So, Happy Jack and Patrick, I was talking to them before the show about this, and they keep saying, find yourself a surrogate. Can we please do your drinking for you? Don't you understand what I want is I want the damage of pain that is in my heart to show on my face. That's what I'm, you know, I walked out. People say two things to me all the time. They always say to me, man, you look so much younger than we thought you would. And they always say, boy, did you lose weight? Are you thinner? And I always say to them, I did not lose weight. The problem is your lack of imagination. You cannot imagine. What's that? What are you looking at? You're holding up something. Jack says, look, working radio long enough, you look that way. What I'm saying is people always say you've lost weight. And that's because people imagine me fatter than I am. That's all it is that people's capacity for imagination, they just draw three big circles and they go, oh, there's Pat. That's what a fat guy looks like.
Hand
you know,
Frosty.
Oh, Pat looks like a, yeah, exactly. They draw Frosty the Snowman and go, and so then they see me, and I mean, I actually have a slight indentation around my eyes. You know, it's not just one Chris Farley blob sitting on my head, and they go, oh, you've lost weight. You look great. You look younger than we thought. Kids, please, for the love of Christ, for the love of all that's good, if you're listening to this show and you're like under 18 or so, do drugs. Drink alcohol. Get it out of the way so that when you get older and you need to have a night of binge drinking, you know what you're doing. Also, kids, please learn what it's like to be high. If you are never high, if you never get drunk, you don't know what it feels like, and that's dangerous. I went in to have my wisdom teeth out years ago, and they gave me sodium pentothal, right? And because I'm a big guy, like a really big guy, they gave me a real Mother Hubbard dose of it, okay? They just filled me up with sodium pent, and they took my wisdom teeth out, right? And I was the last appointment of the day, this, like, you know, cheapy. I know, I was a carny at that time, so it was like this cheapy get your wisdom.
Tooth and go.
Yeah, tooth and go, exactly. I was a tooth and go, and I had a, of course, I was dating a stripper girlfriend, of course, and she was supporting us at the time because that's...
She knew the dentist.
She knew the dentist, sure. She exchanged sexual favors. Hey, you want to fill a cavity? Let's talk. And I got this dental work, and I came out, and I was not Penn anymore. But in my heart, I didn't know what it's like to be high. See, when you're a kid and you start experimenting with drugs and alcohol, you learn what it's like to be high. I didn't know. I didn't know what it was like to be high. So I thought I was normal, okay? So we're driving. I was living in L.A. at the time. We're driving along the 405, and I don't even remember any of this, but I tried to rip her clothes off, and I hurt her, okay? I was completely high and had no idea what I was doing. I kept reaching into my mouth and pulling out bloody wadding and sticking it on her forehead, okay? So I got home, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and outside my door, like three of my friends, right? And as I walk out the door, they say, "Are you okay, man?" Like, "What do you mean?" And they're like doing this kind of chest out, like monkey posing thing. And I go, "What do you mean?" And they go, "Well, Kathleen said she had some trouble with you, that you were high and couldn't handle it." And I go, "What?" Same thing when I went diving, right? I went deep right. scuba diving, not like cases? David Blaine. I'm going to live underwater. You're not living underwater. Anyone who swims is living underwater. And by the way, Chris Angel did the water tank thing in New York in 2001. So Chris Angel comes along and rips off David Blaine, right? Takes his whole shtick, runs away with it, eats his lunch, and now David Blaine is reduced to doing old Chris Angel stuff that then we did after Chris Angel. I don't know. Anyway, so I didn't know what it was like to be high. So I'm going down like 110 feet.
Sure.
And there's a chance I'm going to get narked, right. You know, which is...
nitrogen narcosis.
Yeah, nitrogen narcosis, which is called narked. It doesn't mean someone rats you out. It means that you have nitrogen in your body that makes you high. And it was really terrifying because I don't know what it's like to be high. Now, if you're over 18, society needs you. You should have a job. You should be protecting your family, taking care of your family, providing for your family. You should be doing things for the world. You should be inventing. You should be doing something wonderful. Under 18, you've got nothing important to do. Then do your experimentation so that you don't grow up like a shell of a man like me who stays up all night suffering, comes in the next morning, and has nothing to show for it. Hear my voice? It's got that carny rough thing. I don't smoke cigarettes even, so I don't even go like, you know, that shows that a man's in pain. So what I'm saying to you is if you really want to be able to have people give you sympathy, you need to experiment with drugs and alcohol. And also, don't talk to your kids about drugs. Don't even say a word to them about it. I think what you have to do is show them by example. So if you are a drinker, your kids are going to be drinkers. If you are a smoker, your kids are going to be smokers. If you do dope, your kids will do dope, and there's no way around it. That's it. Now, what I have to do is do this difficult thing of saying to Moxie, you know, I've never had a drink in my life. I've never been high in my life. But, Moxie, find out what it's like to be high so you're not driving down the 405 freeway in L.A. pulling bloody wadding out of where your wisdom teeth used to be and trying to stick it gooily on the head of a stripper. Please, Moxie, try to learn from your dad. This is Penn Jillette. We get a lot of jokes. We can talk about the death penalty. We can talk about anything. I've never done drugs. I never drank. But, boy, do I wish my eyes were bloodshot right now. We'll be back after this. You know I love being on the radio. Yeah, Penn Jillette here. Hungover Penn Jillette. Hungover. No drugs, no alcohol, but all the same, emotionally hungover, okay? I'm a little brittle today. A little brittle. You know when Mia Farrow's in Rosemary's Baby and she's in the kitchen and she's cooking and she starts eating the chicken meat raw because she's kind of lost herself because she's about to give birth to the the devil spawn? Essentially the way I feel right now. Just have that. Just picture inside of me is trapped a 90-pound short-haired woman who's sleeping with Frank Sinatra. Imagine that. You know, I did a show with Mia Farrow in New York City.
Yeah.
I did Exonerated.
How'd that go?
Went very well. You know, you get to be it's awful because you're talking to Mia Farrow, you know? And you're backstage and you're preparing, and she was fabulous in the show. And we get along really well, you know? And then I say to her, "So, do you ever get to Vegas much?" She says, "Well, when I was married to Frank." And I go, "Yeah. So you would have been in Vegas a lot, I suppose, when Sinatra was playing here and you were his wife."
Did you buy land?
And then I'm talking to Mia Farrow, and I mean, this is really all true. Mm-hmm. like, you know, two nights later, I'm trying to be a fair, and I'm talking to her about, I don't know why I get on this, but I'm talking to her.
Did you really say that?
It's my subconscious makes me do crazy things. I have a parasite. Incidentally, the book I'm reading, people wrote in and said, what book is Penn reading in the bathtub? We want, you know, it's like when they had tea with the Beatles at tea time. You know, they adjusted their clocks. See, if you want to read in the bathtub when you can't sleep, you get yourself a nice hot bath with bath oil in it. And the reason I have bath oil in my bathtub is that I had bathtub syphilis years ago. And I want to tell you about bathtub syphilis another time. It's like the blow dryer story. It's very special. But I was given syphilis by the bathtub.
Yeah.
And doctor, I'll tell you about it later. Not right now. But if you want to read what I'm reading in the bathtub, it's Parasite Rex. That's the book I'm reading. Parasite Rex, a great book. Was I in the middle of any story? I don't think so.
Mia Farrow. A couple days later.
A couple days later, I don't know why I did this little fluke in my brain.
Literally.
A Mia Farrow fluke. And I start talking to her about the what Bull's hit TM is. Somehow transcendental meditation comes up. And then she says to me, well, you know, when I was with the Maharishi, and I go, oh, yeah, you mean with the Beatles, when you're over there with the Beatles, with the Maharishi, and Dear Prudence is your little sister. So that's the case. So now, you know, I have to go back to my hotel room and do search for Mia Farrow, because then, because that same night, I'm trying to say to her, and I said, well, did you ever see our show off Broadway? And she said, I think I went with Woody.
She kind of knocks the wind out of your stories, doesn't she?
Any story you want to tell. Any story you want to tell.
Hey, I met Ron Jeremy. Yeah, okay. Sorry, Mia.
Man, can you imagine, just for a second, try to imagine being married to Frank Sinatra and Woody Allen. Okay? And imagine when you are divorced from Frank Sinatra and married to Woody Allen. Was she ever married to him, or were they just living? I don't know. Doesn't matter. When you're involved with Woody Allen, imagine that phone call when Sinatra calls Woody Allen to say you better take better care of her. How scary is that? Now, if I were the kind of guy who did impressions, I mean, next time we have Gilbert on, Let's have Gilbert do a conversation between Frank Sinatra and Woody Allen about Mia Farrow. And Mia Farrow is also really small. See, she's the size of this Sharpie. That's the size of Mia Farrow. You can clip her onto your pocket. You can carry Mia Farrow
around.
That's
probably why she was so popular.
She's very... And she said that when she was in... I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this. Doesn't matter. What's Mia Farrow? Mia Farrow's listening to our show? Mia Farrow going, oh, Penn, you better not tell. Also, what power does Mia Farrow have over me? Oh, she could come and give us that root that she got from what's her name? Ruth, who's the one that set her up for the... Who's the woman that was in Harold and Maude?
Maude.
Her name's Ruth something.
Ruth Gordon.
Ruth Gordon.
Got it.
That tannin root that Ruth Gordon gave her, right. I guess she could give to my wife because she's pregnant and we could give birth to the spawn of Satan. But wait a minute. We're already going to give birth to the spawn of Satan. That's already a done deal. So that's okay. So Mia Farrow said that Sinatra, you know, she was really young and she had her hair cut really short when she married Sinatra. So she really did, to some people, she didn't have the honky-tonk badonka-donk. She could look, to some people, like a little boy. So Sinatra wanted her to always wear, like, long wigs. So she'd wear these wigs and take them off when she got home with, I mean, got back to the hotel with Sinatra. It just, I don't know how people, I mean, when you're Mia Farrow, I mean, and you're just, at some point in your life, don't you just go, my God, how did I get here? I mean, David Byrne had no right to say that. Should be Mia Farrow. She was with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in India, right? She was married to, wasn't she married to someone else too, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I can look it up.
Some like Xavier Cugat. That's not true, but it should be.
It's just a wild shot.
Somebody else she was married to. Mia Farrow was married to everybody cool. Right now, I want you to know, if you weren't married to Mia Farrow, don't even talk to me. I don't even need to hear about that at all. I got some other news. Let's see if there's any news. I don't know whether I'm going to get in more trouble for talking about Mia Farrow or more trouble for talking about this. But let's see. The Boston Archdiocese. Oh, it'll be more trouble for this.
Andre Previn.
That's see, Xavier Cugat, Andre Previn. Who could tell the difference there? Very similar. Was also married to Dori Previn, who is the weirdest, put out these weird albums in the 70s, very weird albums. And she had that kind of hair that I hate. You know that, who's the one in Groundhog Day? Who's the woman in it?
Yeah.
Andie McDowell.
Andie McDowell.
Andie McDowell has like long curly hair that's kind of like I have long curly hair.
Yeah.
So I just think I don't like Andie McDowell and Dori Previn, those people that look like that.
If you wanted to go out somebody out like that, you'd be, you know, doing it yourself.
Exactly. I mean, it's like
be in
Mick,
a mirror.
It's like
a
Mick
mirror.
Jagger. It's like Mick Jagger dating Bianca Jagger.
You know, Bianca?
Bianca, yeah.
Bianca?
I just said, you know, that I look as much like Andie McDowell as Mick Jagger looks like Bianca. Not true. I'm not as attractive as Andie McDowell, but we have the same kind of unpleasant hair. The Boston Archdiocese, after paying out $151 million in over more than 600 sex abuse cases, reported an $8.3 million loss for 2005. To offset the loss, the church will begin charging for its services. For example, communion will now cost $1 a wafer and $1 for a shot of wine, or $5 for the family communion combo meal, which includes a Cardinal Bernard Law action figure, which the kids are advised not to wind up. Kids, don't wind up the action figure that comes with the family communion combo meal. Don't wind it up. Please, please don't. You'll get letters. An outbreak of mumps is sweeping the Midwest, with most of the cases occurring on college campuses. Academic leaders have reassured students that should they come down with the illness, they'll be given extra time to finish up their binge drinking. Now, see, this is the thing. If you're in college and you feel like brittle, like Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby, do some binge drinking. What harm can it do? The Worcester Historical Museum is celebrating the life of Robert Goddard, who spent his entire adult life telling detractors that it is rocket science. What I'm doing is rocket science. President Bush reassured Americans that the recent shakeup in his staff will not in any way hamper the U.S. ability to fight terrorism. In other news, Osama bin Laden replaced the guy who cleans his cave. So both sides are doing big shakeups. This is a great one, and this is a real news story, okay? This will kill you dead. The CDC, okay, Center for Disease Control, I know that one. Scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Laser, aha, you don't know everything, do you? What does laser stand for?
Light, no, I used to know.
Light amplitude mouse. Light amplitude L-A-S, light amplitude, Shaquille, Ever Ready is the last one. They split up to two words. What does laser stand for? You got it already?
Ever Ready.
What is it?
Nope.
CDC, Center for Disease Control, which is an initial, incidentally. You're not pronouncing it. It's like FBI. CDC reports that people with arthritis are less likely than the average American to get enough exercise. That's what the CDC figured out. And next up for the center are people with no teeth less likely to floss. That's what they'll be checking out there. They've got a mandate from the people. Yesterday, I got just news. I'm nothing but news. On Blood Fluke Thursday, it's news. Yesterday, the Pentagon released the names of 558 men who are being detained at Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Today, 558 Pottery Barn catalogs arrived in Cuba. Pottery Barn catalogs arrived in Cuba because, see, they release the names and it goes right on the mailing list. That's what that joke means. What's laser mean?
Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
So exactly what I said. I knew Shaquille was in there somewhere.
We've
got to do the John Lennon thing. We have all these people begging to do the John Lennon thing. It's coming up on Monday night. We have not picked anyone because I am hungover. So we have to get to that. We'll get to that. If you're near a phone, 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE, 3733. If you don't get on the phone about the John Lennon thing, we're going to pick somebody out of these Gmails we have now. You can write a Gmail right this second to penradio@gmail.com. This is for John Lennon. You watch the seance Monday night. Come on our show Tuesday. Get Krispy Kreme donuts, tickets to Penn & Teller, tickets to Lance Burton, and Patrick will give you money to gamble and a limo ride from wherever you are out to the Slammer. So call in, send in Gmails. We're going to pick them in this next section. This is Penn Jillette, looking great, feeling awful. Hey, this is Penn Jillette here, and I want to give a couple of G-bails. We're doing the John Lennon thing. We're going to do that John Lennon thing. They're having a cheesy seance with John Lennon Monday night on pay-per-view. I do not think that anyone listening to this show should watch. Please do not watch. There's no money going to John Lennon's family. There's no money to the estate. It is not sanctioned by anybody to do with John Lennon or any of the Beatles. It's going to be pseudoscience at its worst. It's going to be scamming and cynical. But I want one person that we're that listens to us to watch it and come in on Tuesday and do kind of a report on what they see. What you'll get for doing this, you get to we'll send a limo. You got to be in Vegas. I don't care if you're visiting or living here, but you got to be in Vegas. We'll send you a limo Tuesday morning. You come out to the Slammer. We'll show you around my house. Happy Jack will give you a dozen donuts, maybe two dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme. Patrick will give you $100. Is that $100? Patrick's going to give you $100 so you can gamble.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. We'll give you tickets to the Penn & Teller show. I guess you can go maybe Wednesday night or something. Tickets to Lance Burton. And we'll be really nice to you. There'll be other little perks. We'll show you around the house and stuff like that. Whoever, we got a bunch of people. I got a ton of Gmails. And Godot has picked out like five or six of them that he thinks is good. And we're going to pick among those. But first, I want to say, I got this great, you know, there's a thing on Pilot Inspector, Audio Science, Moxie Crime Fighter, Apple, Moses, all these names, celebrity names for kids, are being trashed by this guy in the New York Times named Alex Wilson.
Williams.
Who cares? Lousy name. And I want to know, someone wrote in who's named Alex and says, I, as you can tell, am named Alex, and I agree that it's a stupid name. So much more so than Moxie and not as stupid as Surrey. That's a... Is it Suri? Suri? Yeah, that's Tom Cruise's Scientology kid. I've never met another person named Alex that made me feel, yeah, this is a good reason to be named Alex. Anyway, I've gone as far as to try to get everyone I meet to call me Lex because I feel it's a much better name. But they usually just end up calling me Al. Yet, if I reference the Paul Simon song, you can call me Al. I just get blank stares. That's signed Lex. Someone else who hates... hates Alex, hates the name Alex, and the name Dave. Here's another one that says, if you have another child, will you please name him or her Screw Demedia? It's a fitting tribute to pablum peddlers everywhere. Now let's get to the John Lennon thing, if any calls. Oh, I wanted to say that my sister wrote to me. She's older than I am, so there's 23 years between us. So when I was a child, she would take me to the fair, and she reminded me that when I was little, I couldn't play into the games, you know, the ring toss and stuff, but I wanted to be involved, so they would take me to the guessing booth where they would guess your name. You know, what's the first name? And I would, you know, first letter I would say P, and they would say Peter, Paul, and I would say no, and they'd give me something worth less than what I paid to have them try to guess my name. And I was always so thrilled. That was just the joy of the whole thing. And the AOL thing, 35% of the people said the weirdest name was Moxie over Pilot Inspector and Audio Science. So there's something to be proud here. Let's go through some of these. Dave, first of all, strike against it. His name is Dave. I am the perfect person for the John Lennon seance. Here are some of the reasons I think why. Raised by devout Mormons, I'm naturally an atheist and a skeptic. Two, I'm a huge John Lennon fan, so much so I can play many of his songs on guitar. Good point. Three, I love your show. Four, I live in Vegas. Five, donuts. That's Dave. A bid for the John Lennon seance. This is a long one. I won't read it all. I may be just the person you're looking for. I'm knowledgeable of the supernatural. I found the topic compelling, kind of like organized religion. I'm a Beatles fan. I have an extensive collection of vinyl. That's good. Unfortunately, I'm a fairly flat-ass dude, so you can scratch the badonkadonk off the list. However, I'm originally from Southern Virginia, and I did work at a country music radio station for a while, so while I have no badonkadonk, I am fairly honky-tonk. That's Nicholas. How honky-tonk can you be with a name like Nicholas? No one has really said that they have honky-tonk, badonkadonk. Here's one from Jake. Ari, I'll watch that crap. Hi, Penn & Company. I'm a Vegas resident who'd be happy to watch and then trash, the lame faggotry known as a seance to contact John Lennon. I'm a Beatles fan, not the biggest Beatles fan in the world, but I do my homework. I'll take notes, laugh, cry, and be mystified, but another step towards making the world one more pay-per-view special away from breaking to the world of the dead. In reality, I think it's probably going to suck so bad it'll be a struggle to look at, but that's the kind of crap we should be dissecting for the pellet it is. Another person says, I listen to your show on occasion, getting a kick out of your mix of facts and entertainment. Perhaps I'll participate in your seance next week. Given the name I was born to and my predisposition to human everyday life, let me know. Signed, John Lennon. A guy named John Lennon wants to talk about that. That's a good one, you know, the
pretty
John
good.
Lennon one.
It's a good qualification.
Yep. Hi, Penn. I plan to be part of your pay-per-view boycott. If you would like to sit politely and watch with an open mind, I would be your guy. If you'd like to, I wouldn't be your guy. If you want a skeptical bastard who'll dissect all the cat crap that this thing promises to deliver, sign me up. I have no problem calling Lennon as loony as a beaded gypsies who want to resurrect him. And if you like, I can also do acoustic send-up of Imagine or some other hippie mantra live on your show. Let me know and keep fighting the good fight. Now, that's Garrett in San Diego, and he'll travel. So far, he's like my favorite. Are there any? Yeah, what we're really getting from Happy Jack is any women? Any women want to do this?
No.
We don't need a full blown honky tonk padonka donk. He's just going for proper gender, and he's happy with that. John Lennon appeared to me in a dream. This is from Richard. I tried to come up with a decent essay for some time involving Jesus, Elvis, John, and some aliens appealing to me in a rust stain on the basement wall, but the paragraph on how to image of Elvis appeared to be crying gravy just didn't help the composition. I instead decided to just list the two most basic reasons I like to suffer the indignity of watching pay-per-view psychics. I'm honestly curious how the hell they fill that time, and perhaps more importantly, I heard good things about Vegas buffets, and who wouldn't want to be on a show featuring jugglers? Been meaning to make the journey for a while now. That's, would buying some novelty barbecue covers help float my energy to the top of the pile, Mr.
Yeah.
Goudeau?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would. John Lennon's psychic application. I'm willing to watch John Lennon's psychic reading. Why would I be willing to subdue myself to such torture, you might ask? Why would I risk embarrassing on the off chance that someone would enter the room as I watch this garbage? Why would I just clean my lint trap and rearrange my sock drawer instead? It's simply, really, I would subject myself to that to an opportunity to see your kick-ass show in Vegas. That's from Chris. Why I should report on John Lennon's seance. First of all, I am a Christian, so I believe there are spirits. But the teachings I have had from the Bible indicate that no one who is dead is in heaven or hell right now. Everyone is asleep waiting for Judgment Day. So I know it'll be faked. You know, I'm really tempted for that one, you know? I'm really tempted because that's a person with a different point of view. That's what Free FM is all about. Get someone who thinks something else nutty. You know, we've got two nuts here.
What's the name on that
one? We're the same kind of nuts. That's Pete. The other reason, I'll be on a business trip, Vegas, April 29th to May 3rd. April 29th is too late.
That's too late.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You were so there.
I was so there. Now I should actually, I think the trick that hooked me was when Teller was stabbing a knife. You stabbed a knife through a... That's not true. See, everybody remembers this wrong. Teller picked a card by stabbing with a knife, and you stabbed it through his hand. It's my hand that gets stabbed. Guess whose birthday it is today? I'm never going to trade to tomorrow because all the nuttiest ones I've heard have been... oh, yes. Well, it's Hitler's birthday. So this guy wants to point out it's Hitler's birthday, 1889. While I have you reading this, I might as well throw my hat into the ring for the John Lennon thingy. I don't know much about the Beatles, seances, and the only monkey story I have is that my fiance is scared spitless, I changed that word, of this monkey puppet I own. In my favor, I'm an atheist who's also been clean and sober all my life, and I was a psychology and music major at a good expensive liberal arts college. Translation, I'm a nutty guy who doesn't believe any of the ghost wooey. I won't get drunk or stoned while the show's on, and I will laugh at how silly they're all being. I don't know. That's a good choice, too. He's too much like us, though. Sober atheist is just us. Which one of these do you like the most, Gudo?
Well, Garrett, I think, is probably the guy so far.
Garrett?
Garrett.
Which one's Garrett?
You got him on there?
I got them all here, so I should have this one here. That's Chris. That's Pete. Anybody else been calling in or that we want to consider?
we do have a call, actually.
I want to take that one and give him a chance.
Sure. Why don't we talk to the guy? Let's see. I think he's on line 5. Let's try line 5.
Okay, yeah. Line 5. How you doing?
Hey, is this Penn?
Yes, it is, sir. How are you, sir?
Hi, I'm fine. My name's Scott, and I'm from Baltimore. I
really?
Listen to you every day.
Thanks so much.
I'd love to do Beatles thing.
Are you going to be in Vegas Tuesday?
I'll get to Vegas if I have to. I'll drive to Vegas.
No, you can't. It's not worth it. See, this is, Scott, this is the stupid thing we're doing. You know, this is something that's worth maybe taking the morning off from work and crossing town. It is not worth coming out from Baltimore. Also, Baltimore is having, what, one of the four good days it has for weather? That's the time it's having it now? There's no reason to come to Vegas for you, man. Our heart goes out to you, but I don't want someone that's like, just wants to get out to Vegas. Unless you're coming anyway, I don't want to consider it. But thanks a lot, man. Unless you have honky tonk padonka.
Oh, well, that's sad. We have a another Gmail says, lay off us Dave's, you monkey-loving parasite farm.
Monkey-loving parasite
Dave.
Farm. Signed Dave.
Monkey-loving parasite
farm.
Yeah,
you know, I got a few letters from people named Dave after I said that thing in the New York Times about people not liking Moxie's name or named Dave, but who cares what they think? They're named Dave. I got interested in the name Dave and what it means when a cartoonist for The New Yorker named Dick Klein, okay, wrote me a fan letter. Dick Klein is 6'6", my weight, black curly hair, and he gets mistaken for me in the street, wears glasses. At least he did at the time. And he wrote me this fan letter that just had this great paragraph that said, "Dear Penn, let's get together and talk about women we've known with large breasts who are now married to guys named Dave." And it really made me laugh. And we got together and had like lunch. And all we talked about was guys that we knew named Dave that should have been named Dick. That was the whole conversation there. We had a great time. And ever since then, whenever I need a name for someone I don't like, I use the name Dave. Now, I know Dave Copperfield, and we get along well. I know Dave Letterman. Both of them are usually called David, although Dave Letterman is called Dave once in a while. And, you know, there's a few Daves, I guess. Are there any rock and roll Daves? Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics, I guess?
You know, I can't think of any rock and roll Daves at all.
You can't.
Didn't there used to be one that worked at... No, I guess not.
No. I mean, there's David Bowie.
David Bowie.
And there's Davy Jones.
But Davy Crockett?
That's David. And that's Dave. Davy Jones was Davy Jones. So what do you think? Is it going to be Garrett?
I think it's probably going to be Garrett.
Let me read this again.
We got a last-minute one that says, "I'm a woman, pick me." It's very persuasive.
And is she in Vegas?
She didn't say that. Nothing. It says, "I'm a woman, pick me."
Well, you know, we could have a man and a woman. We have room for two
a
people.
Team.
A man's point of view and a woman's point of view. If she'll just write to you and say that she is in Vegas and does have honky-tonk padonk-padonk, we can talk to her about that whole thing.
Is she okay with lying?
Oh,
I think Garrett
play guitar?
I think Garrett did.
Hello, Penn. I'm glad to be part of your pay-per-view boycott. I'll be viewing. Sit politely. I'm a skeptical bastard who'll dissect all the cat crap. Good. I have no problem calling Lenny. He says, no problem calling Lennon as loony as the beaded gypsies who want to resurrect him. And if you liked, I can also do a acoustic send-up of Imagine or some other hippie mantra live on your show. Let me know and keep fighting the good fight. Now, Garrett's in San Diego, but he's willing to come in, you say?
He says he is.
He's willing to come
in? So far.
Okay, well, we have, and our runner-up will be, there was one guy I really liked in here, too. John Lennon. We could also have John Lennon on. If John Lennon is in Vegas, we'll have John Lennon on as well. John Lennon's automatically in because he has his name. That's a guy named John Lennon. This is Penn Jillette. We'll have the final thing tomorrow. Thank you so much for getting me through my phony, sober hangover. I'll be back tomorrow if, you know, that New York creek don't rise. Just be nice to everybody. That's all you got to do. It's so easy. Speak the truth, but don't hit anybody, okay?
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.